Gus Sober is an award-winning journalist. He's an editor, speechwriter, and author. He's got a tremendous amount of interest, including social entrepreneurship. And he joins us on the line. Gus, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Thank you, Howard. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
So the question is this, and in fact, the thought that I had was sparked by a tweet of yours that I read, and you quoted something magnificent that I've got no capacity to remember right now. It was about failure happening sort of in stages and then all of a sudden. Where was that quote from?
That's right, John. I posted that on Facebook. That's Ernest Hemingway's famous quote, where a character's asked how he went bankrupt, and he says, gradually, then suddenly. So this is what's happened as well with the magazine industry here.
Yeah, and I would actually argue that it's happened with everything, because whatever we've seen so far, certainly EdCon, even Com Air, we've seen a lot of this gradually, then suddenly. But let's focus for a moment on the magazine industry. It's for those of us that sort of grew up, and I remember you were involved with Style. I used to love Style magazine. We grew up with magazines. Is this now, are magazines a thing of the past?
Well, you know, I mean, not globally. I mean, there are magazines certainly internationally that are still doing very well. But in South Africa, unfortunately, a number of things. First of all, relatively small readerships for very niched magazines. And then secondly, magazines in general in South Africa were quite slow to really adapt to the changing world around them. So the digital world and the digital presence, they didn't really kind of catch up to that as quickly as they could have. And as a result, they kind of were forced to spend resources on it, you know, much later than they would have. But the real reason is that magazines have become, in our society, a luxury item, a bit of an indulgence. So people kind of put them off their agenda and they find other information online. And as a result, advertising drops and circulation drops. It's a very vicious spiral. And that's been happening now for several years, actually. It's not just a new thing.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of the Kodak story, because Kodak invented the digital camera and then they did the research, and they, even though they didn't want to get involved in it, they knew they had 10 years before the whole world was going to adopt move towards digital, and they still did nothing about it. So, and ultimately that was the end of them. Is that essentially what's happened to the magazine industry in South Africa?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the media industry as a whole definitely had a huge Kodak moment. They didn't take the internet seriously in the early 1990s when they had the opportunity, and the opportunity was to actually charge for content. So instead, what happened first with newspapers and later with other publications is that they just thought, oh, well, we'll just give it away for free and it'll become like an incentive to subscribe and to read our print editions. Of course, that didn't happen, and people now are very used to getting everything on the internet for free. So there's a reluctance and a resistance to the idea of paying. And that was the media industry's Kodak moment in the early 90s, when the internet was seen as a novelty and not something to really worry about. As a result, there was no business model to come out of that. And the effect of that, as you've just seen, has been the closing of two major magazine groups.
This may sound simplistic, but I mean, would it not make sense for magazines to move from print to digital?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Every publishing group around the world, and in South Africa this has been the case too, has to have a digital strategy. So how do they kind of leverage their print editions online? The problem is the very power and the very attraction of a magazine is the fact that it's physical. It's got a physical presence. You see it on the shelf. This is why you see magazines when you go to the supermarket lined up for you while you're in the queue for the cashier. They're very attractive. They have covers that kind of lead out at you. So the physical presence is what makes magazines successful, firstly. The digital presence is just not anywhere near as compelling. But magazines have to have a digital presence. The problem is this combination of factors here, with magazines being seen as a luxury and less advertising spend as a result of our economy, has all combined in this kind of sudden crash. And obviously COVID-19 has been an accelerant. It's just hastened the demise that could have happened anyway.
Magazines like You, the cheaper South African magazines, do they still have a runway?
Yeah. So those magazines, You, Haeskinoot, and Drum, mass market magazines, still do well, although their circulation has been dropping over the years. But they are slightly different in that they are, firstly, weekly publications. Secondly, they are very, very topical. They are based on the news of the day and the news of and what people are talking about day by day. In effect, I would say that those publications are actually, they're almost a kind of print form of what people talk about on the internet. So that's their success story, and they are still doing well, not as well as they used to, but they are different. They are kind of your weekly fix of news, gossip, etc.
Mm. It's like your tabloid, I suppose. It's a weekly tabloid.
Yes, that's correct.
To some extent, yeah. It's very interesting because in other parts of the world where you've got certain magazines that of course are iconic, things like Vogue magazine, Vanity Fair, do they survive because of the numbers or because they've managed to combine both digital, and I know Vanity Fair was quite quick to adopt a digital version as well. But what is, I mean, are they successful? I assume they are, but I don't know that they are.
Absolutely. As you say, however, those are iconic publications. Vogue and Vanity Fair, the two that you mentioned in particular, have got very, very strong digital presences and strategies as well. So if you look at what Vanity Fair does, they very cleverly allow you to read a couple of articles on their website, and then beyond that you have to subscribe. So they've got a very powerful digital subscription base as well, but essentially it's a numbers game. I mean, the US, if you're a US-based magazine and you only have a minor percentage of possible readers, you still have enough to be in the hundreds of thousands of readers in circulation. So you're in a much stronger position. Over here, very much it's a numbers game as well. The market is small, and as a result, the odds are much higher that you're not going to make it.
So do you think we're going to be left? I don't really know. Where's Men's Health and GQ, all of those? Were they part of either of these stables?
No, so they're part of the bigger Media 24 and other independent stables. And they're still around. Men's Health in the 90s was a massive magazine with the circulation well in excess of 100,000. It's fallen to around about half of that now, but still enough to make it viable.
Which is so interesting because if you have to see another article about abs in 6 weeks, like you think that they've been doing this since the 90s.
Sorry. You know, absolutely. Month after month, it would look like a clone of the previous month, but that was part of it. It was a formula, you know, an aspirational formula. So there still are certainly magazines around. The shelves won't suddenly be empty of South African magazines, but this is unprecedented in history for one major group and then another to collapse in the space of a week. That's never happened before.
Am I right in maybe assuming that these magazines that are under these big international brands, for example, Glamour, that's under Condé Nast, they're still on the shelves, not because of the numbers, but because they are supported maybe financially by these big companies?
Yeah. So those are what's known as franchise magazines. Glamour no longer exists. There used to be O Magazine, which no longer exists, Marie Claire, which no longer exists. So at one stage, it was actually a good model to have a franchise of an international magazine. But it does, again, come down to numbers. Those magazines just didn't have sufficient numbers to work. And interestingly enough, for the small market that we have, we've had an overwhelming number of publications, much more so than other societies such as Australia. So we've had lots and lots of magazines here, and that's been another problem. It's been a kind of war of attrition. There have been too many magazines for the market. I mean, just looking at the women's magazine market, there have been so many titles, and, you know, only a few managed to survive. And now, even those that survived have been part of this bigger shutdown.
Incredible. It's actually very sad. I mean, I know it might be inevitable, and maybe I'm an anachronism and I like to hold on to some of these things, but it is sad. I mean, you've been in the industry a long time. What's the thought of, what do you think, and what are your peers and colleagues and people that have been around a long time feeling around this?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've worked in magazines for many years, and it's very sad when a single title falls, because firstly, it represents an economic loss. And then secondly, there's the sense that ideas are disappearing. Ideas are gone. All that talent and hard work is disappearing. So when a single title falls, it's a bit of a tragedy. And that's why people at the moment are absolutely shell-shocked. This is just so unprecedented, and coming in the wave of this lockdown, mood. It's just awful. People don't know what to do. So there's going to be an influx of people on the media market looking for jobs, etc. The ripples are huge, and there's great affection and fondness for magazines from people who work on them and from readers as well. And I don't know what's going to replace that. There's nothing physical that immediately springs to mind that will replace that. The internet, of course, is reason number one why this has happened. So the internet as a media platform is going to grow and grow. That's unstoppable. At the same time, the sense that there's nothing you're going to be able to hold in your hand anymore is actually, it's a very sad one and a scary one too, because it means information suddenly is going to all flow onto one big electronic platform, which is, you know, it's just different to the feel of print.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. For me, it is quite sad, and I can't tell you that I buy magazines that often, but there is somehow nothing quite like sitting on a couch with a cup of coffee and paging through a magazine.
No, I think we've just got nostalgia, because I can tell you, I haven't bought a magazine in 2 years.
So I'm feeling the same. I mean, yeah. I haven't.
And nostalgia is not going to pay the bills.
Oh, Miss Practical this morning. Wow, who appointed you?
That's the thing, because the people who are complaining are actually the people who are feeling nostalgia, who have not bought magazines in years.
That's right.
I feel like I've just been schooled. And she's right, of course.
Too. So many people are saying that.
You're absolutely right. Time is 7:24. Gus Sauber, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Very interesting, informative. And I appreciate you chatting to us this time of the morning. It is 7:24.